Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Yes. Time when Bartimaeus was sitting at the outside of the city and he heard the ruckus. And they said, he said, what's going on? He says, Jesus is passing by. See, unbeknownst to us, Jesus was there. Unbeknownst to us, it was a divine appointment. I do not believe in coincidences. There is no such thing as coincidences. God brings us to the place of refuge. And God does for us things that we know nothing of, so that He may reveal Himself to us in a greater manner. So that person is here today. You know, and I want her to tell you what God did. Here we go. See, I asked her to do that.
Pastor Frank's wife asked me how I was doing, and I told her that my daughter was facing possible breast cancer. And she's only 22 years old with a one-year-old baby. And we prayed, and Thursday night I found out that she is not having breast cancer, that she's cancer-free.
You see, it's all about prayer. It's all about trust. See, God will show up in the weirdest places, will He not? And He'll do things that will just amaze us. I mean, I'm telling you, I get blown away every week. A day doesn't pass by when I'm not blown away by what God is doing in our midst. You see, you know, we are living the best of times. We are living the worst of times. But in all that, Jesus is alive. Yeah. Alive and active. Yeah. Praise be to God. You see, you know, this week was a powerful week. Some of us were not here, so I'm going to tell you about this week just briefly. You know, it started out with Brother Wayne sharing a word that just was so rich, so good. I mean, so nourishing. You know, it was all about the heart. And you could see the heart of God in that message towards us. You see, God cares so much for us. His heart is so for us that He speaks to us on a daily basis. But last Wednesday, He chose to speak to us in a different way, in a way that even a child could understand. And I don't know about you, but I'm telling you, I couldn't take it anymore. I had to weep because the word was so powerful, so alive, so active, so real. I said, oh, only God. Only God. See, God uses vessels that are willing. Willing, you know. In Psalms 23, He says, my cup runneth over. You see, I don't know if you've understood that, but I'm here to tell you, Frank's explanation as to that part of that verse. You see, God cannot use you effectively until your cup is running over. So, you know, I choose to keep that flow going. And in order not to waste anything, I told Lauren this the other day, I drink from the saucer. I drink from the saucer. You know? You know, we can't, you know, in that passage of Scripture where the little boy brought the two fish and the five loaves, at the end, what did Jesus say? Take it up, pick it up, don't let nothing go to waste. So I said, well, if it's running over, I got to put a saucer in there and I got to start drinking. And it's so much fun, you know. Thursday was the same thing. I mean, God showed up and people were up front here. They were weeping. I mean, they were giving their hearts to the Lord. They could not explain it. We asked them. They could not explain it. But they knew one thing. They were being touched. And who touched them? But El Shaddai, the more than sufficient God. He showed up. And then Friday, we closed. And that was, I mean, so awesome. We left here about 10:30, 11 o'clock at night. with Corinne and Jerry sharing their witness, you know, their testimony, and how powerful it was. I really enjoyed the episode on the elevator. Jerry's going crazy, and Corinne is down there laying down on a pillow, reading a book. And today, here we are, once again, in God's house. And like I said earlier, we've come here not to be entertained, but to be fed. You know? God is here. Open your hearts. Let Him be God in your life. Okay? But let's take a few seconds, a few minutes, and let's greet one another. See, it's good for us to say hello. You know, if we extend our hands to one another, we're saying, we're brothers, we're sisters, we're family. We're the family of God. Okay? Would you greet one another? Because we've gathered here, and God has something for us. Okay? You have your Bibles? Does everybody have a Bible? If you don't have a Bible, grab one from the pew. You know, if you don't have one, you can take that one too. I'll tell Pastor about it later. Raise your Bibles high. Say with me. This is my Bible. It contains the Word of God. There are many like it. But this one is mine. And today, when I believe what it says, I will be what it says that I am. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Praise God. You know, I always ask God, Lord, are you sure you want me to say this? You know? And He has a habit of saying, well, okay, Frank, I'm going to let you say that. And then there's many times when He just says to me, you know, that was pretty good. I did that just for you. So I'm going to take you on a different walk. See, in Matthew 28, in verses 19 and verse 20, the Word of God there goes on to say, Jesus speaking, of course, all authority is given to me on heaven and on earth. Therefore, go ye into all the nations, and make disciples, teaching them all the things that I have commanded. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I will be with you till the end. You see, we are never alone. God is always with us. And in this passage of Scripture, He is commissioning us. He is sending us. He is saying, take my light to the ends of the earth. Now, we know that all of us won't go. But you know what? We can start it right here, right now, in Shelton. For Shelton is our Jerusalem. Psalms 122:6 says, pray for Jerusalem. For in Jerusalem lies your peace. See, that's not there just for it to be there. We need to pray. We need to step out. We need to get out of our comfort zone. See, in Isaiah, in chapter 60, and in verse 1, Scripture there goes on to say, arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises. Note, it says, rises upon you. See, each day is a new day, a new blessing, a new adventure. And in the New Testament, Jesus referred to Himself as the light of the world. In John chapter 9 and verse 5, Jesus said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And yet, he called his followers, that's you and I, by the way, he called his followers to reflect his light. In Matthew 5 and verse 14, he said this, "Ye are the light of the world. A city is set on a hill, cannot be hid." You see? You can't hide. People are seeing you. They know when you leave the house on Wednesday night, they know where you're going. They know when you rise up in the morning on Sunday and you leave the house, they know where you're going. They may not be coming, but they know where you're going. And when trouble hits, who do they run to? They'll run to you. Why is that? Because they know that there's a little light that shines through you. And you see, now is the time to take the light to the ends of the earth. But we must begin here, right where we're at. You see, God has moved us from the place where we were and has brought us to this place because there's a specific mission that we are to accomplish. God has even changed our names. He calls us now what? New Horizons. See, you know what that means? The sky's the limit. You see, I'm telling you, the sky's the limit. And only you can you know, hold it back. I'm not willing to hold nothing back. You see, Genesis 12:2 says, "I will bless you and you will be a blessing." So you see, God has blessed me. I have to be a blessing. I have to obey. We have to obey because we've been blessed. I'm telling you that the signs are everywhere. A supernatural harvest is on the way. Scripture says in Isaiah 43:19 the following, "Behold, I am doing a new thing." I'm telling you, he's doing it right now. I am doing a new thing. Can you not perceive it? Says, "I am bringing rivers into the desert place." You know, when I came to Washington 30 plus years ago, I was notified by a series of people that I had come to the darkest state in the lower 48. And I looked at them. I said, "What in the world are you talking about? The light is here. The light is shining. The light is bright." You know, and about 25 years ago, we had a group of people come to our church in Lacey. And I asked myself, why are they coming here from Shelton? I didn't even know where Shelton was, you know. So I said to myself, well, I guess I must pray because obviously they need a shepherd in Shelton. So I prayed for 10 years for Hispanics that were coming here. And after 10 years, the Lord told me I could stop. So I figured, the deed's done. It's all over. You know? Well, a few years before that, I was in my house in Puerto Rico. And I was sitting on my nice rocking chair. I was preparing a message. I called it 777. You know? Blessings upon blessings. You know? And my sister walked by. She lived right behind me in another house. And she was walking by, and I saw her pass by, and all of a sudden, she stops. And she comes in like a whirlwind. And she just goes all over around me. And she says, "Your ministry will be confirmed in your house, in your bedroom, with your wife's head at your feet." Now, who sleeps like that? You know? Give me a break. But you know, I knew it was the Lord. I received that. So I waited. And I waited. And when I got back to Washington, sometimes I'm like a spoiled kid, okay? I say, well, Lord, what's up with you? I mean, I received it, you know? I didn't deny it. I'm ready for it. Why hasn't that happened? I mean, I didn't know what my assignment was. I didn't know what I was supposed to do. I knew that I was in the Lord's hand because He had brought me here to Washington to save me from myself. You see, I was supposed to be going to the Pentagon, and I arrived in the wrong Washington. Never makes a mistake. I had to stay here for a year and one day before I could go out. So they looked at my records, and they said, well, the only thing that we have here that you qualify is for what you did back in Vietnam, being 11 Bang Bang, you know? Infantryman. But you know what? All throughout that time, God was with me. I would cry out to the Lord, Lord, I know you now. Why do you send me here? And He would give me a reprieve and let me go TDY, temporary duty, and have fun. No worries, no hurries. No getting wet no more. And eating cold food. And then as soon as I was comfortable, what would He do? Send me back! You know, and that went on. But what's interesting is that night I was sleeping. I mean, I was really resting. And I heard this voice loud and clear. Jeremiah 29:5. I mean, it was a thunderous voice. I stopped, woke up, went to my prayer closet, knelt down and prayed. I didn't know what the verse said. I didn't even bother to check. I prayed and I came back and I went to sleep. It's like Samuel, you know. I went back. I went to sleep. And it comes out again. Jeremiah 29:5. And I got up and I prayed again. And went back to sleep. And then the third time it was really loud. Jeremiah 29:5. I said, Lord, do you want me to read that? Well, nah. Of course. And what does it say? It says, build houses, plant gardens, and eat. I realized right then and there that was an apostolic calling. Immediately after that, things began to happen. I would go to conferences in different places and pastors, I mean veterans of war, would come to me and ask me certain things. And I would just talk to them. And then I would ask him, what can I do for you? He says, well, you've already answered everything that I needed to know. You know, I never knew what I said to them because I didn't need to know. They needed to know, and God used me as a vessel for the outpouring of His Spirit. And on that day, that very same day, He told me that I was to go to Shelton. I said, wow, I've been praying for Shelton for so many years. I guess I could go. Remember, I told you, I didn't know what Shelton was. So I went up to Seattle. I was the president of the Ministerial Association, Hispanic Ministerial Association in Seattle. We had about 60 churches at that time, and it grew to about 120 or more. And I asked them over there, you know where Shelton is? And they said, it's down south. So I said, well, shoot, I'm coming from down south. So it must be beyond Olympia. So I got in my car, and I'm driving down I-5, and I get to Kelso. And I stop and I ask them over there, say, I know I'm almost near Oregon, so could you tell me where Shelton is? He said, it's back north. I said to myself, whoa, how did I miss it? You know, I lived on exit 107, and 105 says with a big, big sign, Shelton. Never seen it at all, you know? And what happens? I ask a friend of mine, Alexis, he says, do you know where Shelton is? He says, oh yeah, I know. I've been there all the time. He had never really been to Shelton. He had never, ever really been to Shelton. You know, he'd visit the prison over there, but never been here. But he told me, I'll take you. It took me 8 months to come to Shelton. Every time I had scheduled to come to Shelton, something would happen that would prevent me from coming to Shelton. You know why that was? Because there was a divine appointment that I was supposed to meet, and the timing was not right. Well, on the day that I finally came here, 8 months later, we came down First Street, hit Railroad, went up the hill. We found out that the town was all gone. So we came back down the hill, took a right, and found ourselves back on 101. I said, oh my gosh, I could blink an eye and miss this. So we went back and we stopped there in front of a Mongolian place in La Palma, which is a Mexican restaurant, and we prayed. And the Spirit took us on foot to Shelton Christian Fellowship, which today is called Gateway Christian Fellowship. And as we got there, I seen an individual coming out, and I asked him, are you the pastor? He says, no. I asked him, is the pastor there? He said, yes. I said, I'd like to speak to that man. And he went in, and he came out and says, he'll be with you in about 5 minutes. So, you know, I'm a military guy, you know. You ever read the book of Mark? You know, you don't go around the bush. You go straight to the point. He says, how can I help you? I told him, I says, look, the facts are this. God has sent me here to establish a ministry. He was, this whole time he's looking at his papers while he's talking to me. He looks up, he says, what did you say? I said, God has sent me here to establish a ministry. He says, would you step outside? I'll call you back in here in a little minute. I went outside, I told Alex, I think we're about to be kicked out of here. So get ready. Get ready. 10 minutes. I mean, he couldn't tell time, obviously. He comes out, he says, who are you? I said, this is Alex. He says, Alex, you could go. I'll take him wherever he needs to go. I looked at Alex. Alex looked at me. This guy doesn't know me. He doesn't know if I'm coming from New York City or from Japan. He says he'd take me wherever I needed to go. All right? So he says, are you hungry? I said, not really. I said, could you eat? I said, sure, I could eat. And he takes me back down to La Palma. And we ordered food. And this guy was like a machine gun. I mean, he would not let up. He was asking one question after a question and another question. I mean, he finally took a little breather, you know. And I said to myself, I better speak up now, because if not, I'm not going to get a chance. So I said, can I say something? Can I ask you a question? He says, yes. I said, why are you asking me all these questions? And he reaches back and he pulls off his keys. He says, because yesterday we prayed for you, and today you show up at our doorsteps. I said, well, you really want to eat? The food was there. I said, no. He says, let's get out of here. We left the food there. We went back to the church. And he gave me a tour of the church. And as we walked through, they says, what can we do for you? I said, I need an office. He said, which one would you like? I said, I like that one there. See, I had met him in a different office. I didn't know that that office was his. And he told me, you can have it. Then the next Sunday, we come in, Delsa and I. It was August 25th. And we're sitting in the back row, closest to the door. And these Hispanics come in, and they go all the way to the other end. And as the worship was over, there was a time of greeting. And they didn't go back there. They came and they sat down right in front of us. You know? And Pastor went out. He's preaching this message. And I asked him, do you understand what he's saying? He says, we don't have a clue. We don't speak English. I said, so what are you doing? He says, we're going to read the book of Acts until he's done, and then we'll go home. I said, would you like to hear what he's saying? He says, yes. And that's how our ministry first started out here. You know? I asked him at that time, how can I get a hold of the Hispanics? And I've told you this story before. It says, go to the laundromat, you know. And the laundromat is where everybody hangs out, I guess, you know. And I took that to be a message. And I said, you know, because the washing machine, the agitator has three agitators, you know. And so that's Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, you know. And when we come in, you know, to the house, we're totally filthy and dirty. So you go into the heavy-duty cycle, you know, and those agitators just hit you. Pam, 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 pam. I mean, he's knocking the dirt all off of you, you know. As you keep coming back, you know, you go into the moderate, then you go into the delicate cycle. And I love the delicate cycle because it's just a swish, 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 you know. And so he dried us up. He took away all of our infirmities. I'm here to tell you guys that I said this because God is calling us to a mission. I believe that the coming supernatural harvest will have two distinct results. First, it will bring an abundant outpouring of blessings upon the lives of God's children that will enrich your life in every area, every facet of your life. You will be enriched. And what I'm talking about divine healing. I'm talking about strength. I'm talking about provision enough to meet every need so that you will enjoy that no lack blessing that is promised to every believer in the Word of God. Hallelujah. You see, in Psalms 23, in verse 1, it goes on there to say, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." In other words, I will not lack anything. I will have everything. Why? Because we dare to believe in a God that shows up and we see Him through the winds, the leaves, the birds of the sky. He just shows up and blesses us. And something, you know, at the beginning I used to wonder, why would He do that? You know, I wouldn't do that. But you see, I'm not God. He's God, you see? In Psalms 23 and verse 5, there it says, he says that he, the Lord, see, God himself is the one who prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies, and he anoints our head with oil. With oil. So that our cup will be able to run over. In other words, so that he will be able to use us. Remember I said earlier, God cannot use us until our cup is running over. And in the book of Solomon, Proverbs 28 and verse 27, it says there that he who gives to the poor will lack nothing. Okay? But then it doesn't finish there. It says, but he who closes his eyes, see, sometimes we close our eyes, guys, and we're all at fault there. It says, but he who closes their eyes receives many curses. See, God has called us to be a light unto this world. In 2 Corinthians, in chapter 9, in verses 8 through 10, the Word of God there speaks out to us and says, "And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye," that's you and I, "always having all sufficiency in all things may abound in every good work." And it continues on to say, "For as it is written, he has dispersed abroad. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now he who gives seed to the sower and bread to eat will increase the fruit of your righteousness." You see, in God we have it all. In God there is no lacking. In God there is no shortage. But I believe that abundance will be there, and that seed will go beyond our needs. See, that seed that is in your hands will bring us together. And we will experience what? We will experience the unthinkable. We will see the unbelievable. We will witness the unprecedented harvest of souls that are being transformed by the glorious power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, there are important keys in this good book that reveals God's word in order to help us discover how to prepare for the harvest. And it's not that hard, you see. While the process, you know, is taking place, much emphasis is placed on the seed and on the harvest. But you know what? How does the process begin? It begins with the sower. See, if the sower doesn't sow, there will be no harvest. In other words, you have to give. And what do you give? You give of yourself. You give of your strength. You give of your time. You give of your talents. You give of your inheritance. And you know what your inheritance is? Life. As you give of your life, life will be birthed. And those that do not know God. So what am I saying? I am saying that this key is so important that Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, our God, our everything, all in all, took time to draw attention to the sower. In Mark chapter 4, in verses 3 to 8, Jesus speaks there and he says, "Behold, there went out a sower. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit." And then he goes on to say, "And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold." You see, while it is God who brings the increase at harvest time, as the seed is multiplied, three elements are involved in preparing the way for the harvest. And they are the sower, the seed, and the soil. See? The sower, according to Scripture, is essential to the harvest. For unless the sower disperses the seed, there will be no harvest. See, it's the sower who determines the quantity of seed to be sown. It is the sower who also decides the seed and where the seed will be planted. You know, years ago, I had a person talk to me and says, "You know, when I was a child, we grew corn in our fields. And Dad didn't want to give me an allowance. So I went to the barnyard and I took some corn. And I sold it. And boy, was that a mistake." I said, why is that?" He said, "Because that was the seed that he had set apart for the harvest, In other words, you take the best seed. You know, an ear of corn has 452 little nuggets, you know, little kernels. You know, and one of those will give you 3 years of corn. So imagine, you plant one ear of corn, multiply that by 452. How much do you have? But you get three of them. And if you plant all three, multiply that. I mean, millions, countless seeds. And those seeds are souls that can be blessed and brought into the kingdom. You know, I wondered about that. I said, you know, that makes a lot of sense. No wonder he was angry. You know, but our God is such a gracious God that he forgives us all our, you know, mess ups, I would call them, you know, for lack of a better word. But what I'm saying here is that as the sower watches over the field, as he tills the ground, as he ensures the optimum growing condition necessary for that harvest to come forth, the seed then has the power to multiply and produce a harvest. And when we plant natural seed into the earth ground, when we carefully till the soil, we expect to reap a multiplied harvest of the seed that was sown. And so I'm here to tell you that the same principle applies to the spiritual realm. In Mark 4, verses 26 and verse 27 says, "And God said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise day and night, and the seed should spring up and grow, he knoweth not how." See, we don't know how this whole process takes place. All we know is that it takes place. And it takes place because of who? Because that's God's intent. That's God's purpose. And when we put ourselves in God's hands, he will do great things through us, for us. But best of all, he does it on our behalf. And he does it because he loves us. 1 John 4:10 says, "And this is what love consists, not that we first loved God, but that he loved us first." See, it's all about God. It's all about love. 1 John 4:8 says, "God is love." See, God is love. See, we sow our seed each time we give to the work. And as we give, God gives us more. He gives us so much that we can abound in every good work, is what the Bible says. See? And so what happens? What takes place is that people are rescued from sin. And as they are rescued, they are transformed for eternity. For you see, the seed is essential for the harvest. A basic principle of the harvest is that nothing will be produced without sowing a seed. Every seed has an amazing God-given potential to multiply. Jesus said this in John 12 and verse 24. "Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit." You see, maybe you don't know this, but the day you received Jesus, you died. The day you received, if you really received Jesus, you died. you see. You don't have to worry about dying because you're already dead. Dead to the world. You have conquered the greatest fear of all. Hebrews tells us that. You've conquered death. I used to say to the troops, you know, if you want to keep a secret, tell it to a dead man. Dead man tell no lie. Dead man say nothing. Dead man is dead. See, we're dead. Dead to the world. But we're alive. Alive in Christ. And we await that great day when He will show up and call us home. You know? I've seen this picture about, you know, the table. The banqueting table. It's a long table. It goes on into infinity. And I looked at that. And I appreciated the painting, okay? But then I said to myself, nah, it's not going to be that way. This is Frank's interpretation, okay? It's going to be a round table. So we can all see each other. Oh, I know you. I remember you, you know. We're going to be talking up there. And we're going to be glad. We're going to rejoice. See, we made it. You know? It's like having a ticket. You can't board the plane without a ticket. God has given us a ticket. And we can board the plane or we can board the train. And it was free. Yes. You see? So I'm excited. I'm excited because we're here. And not only are we here, there's a purpose for us being here. You see? God has already the plan for growth. He has a plan for growth in place. But it's up to us to arise and shine. Arise and shine. See, we need to speak up. We need to share. You know? There was a time when I could share about a lot of things that really didn't avail much. But now, a lot of people don't talk to me. You know why? Because all I have to do, all I can talk about is Jesus. What a deal, you know? All I can do is talk about Jesus, you know? And they say, are you following football? I said, well, I think the last time I did that was back in 75, 76, you know? A few years ago, I had the police come knocking on my door. And you know how the police lock? Pam, 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 pam. I opened the door. I says, yes. He says, are you Frank Martinez? I said, yes. He says, we have a warrant for your arrest. I said, really? Why is that? He says, DWI. I started to laugh. The guy looked at me. He says, this guy must be a fruitcake. He says, what are you laughing about? I says, my goodness, I'll tell you what. If you arrested me for DWI, it must have been back in 73 or something like that. Because I haven't had a drink since then. You know? And he started to laugh. I looked outside. There was a cop on both sides. And a guy coming over from the back. I mean, they were ready for me to run. I said, I don't have no reason to run. Jesus saved me a long time ago. I've been dead to all that. I've been dead to all that. So here we are today, you know. Still alive and active. But only I'm only alive and active because of the Word. See, Hebrews 4:12 says that the Word is alive and active in us. You know, the good thing is that when I came to the Lord, I was a Roman Catholic, you know. It's my fault, my fault, my fault, my one and only fault, you know. And I knew the canon. I could probably give the mass. I knew when to ring the bells. And I really enjoyed the wine once the priest was not looking. But when I came to the Lord, I found out that I did not know a thing. But as I hungered, as I thirst for the Lord, you know, I would speak. This pastor told me, if something shows up and it stands out, talk about it. And that's what I would do. I would talk about it. I would fit into the conversation. It mattered not if it didn't fit. I would put it in there somehow, some way, you know, so people would ask. And I discovered this, that there were a lot of things that I was saying that later on that same week or a few days later, I would be reading my Bible and it would be right there. You know why that is? Because the Word is in our heart. The psalmist says in Psalms 119, verse 11, I have kept your word in my heart that I would not sin against thee. You see, the word is in us, and the word is for us, and the word is through us. All we have to do is surrender. Give up. Give up. See, the soil, the condition of the soil is directly related to the quality and to the quantity of the harvest. See, Jesus emphasized this in a parable to his disciples. He talked about the wayward. See, in Mark 4:4, scripture there goes on to say, and it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. See, the seed fell along a side of a hard path, probably a walkway, you know, a place so hard that the ground was not broken up. So what happens? That seed was stepped on and trampled. And eventually, that seed was devoured and carried away by the birds. Mark 4:4 goes on to say, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. See, we need to know where we are to sow our seed. We need to know this. Sometimes we sow our seed in the wrong place, you know? And Jeremiah talks about that a little bit. Can't remember the exact verse, so I have to go to my trusty Bible and look it up in Jeremiah. I believe it's chapter 4. I'm not sure. We'll look it up. Yep, it's chapter 4. There it says, break up your fallow, unplowed ground and do not sow among the thorns. You see? We need to... Jeremiah 4, verse 3. It says, break up your unplowed ground and do not sow among the thorns. In another portion of Scripture, in Hosea chapter 10 and verse 12, it says, break up your fallow ground, for it's time to seek the Lord. Huh? Break up your fallow ground because it's time to seek the Lord. That's Hosea chapter 10 and verse 12. We need to know where we sow our seed. You know? Just because people are asking for money and saying it's for the Lord, be careful, you know. Be careful. You can abound in every good work, but you know what? You have a house. This house. Malachi says, bring your tithe to the house, that there may be food in the house. You know what the food is? The Word of God. See, this house, we need to pay the light. We need to pay the water. We need to pay the gas. We need to pay all kinds of things. This house sends money out in different directions and meets the needs of the people in our city, in our town, within ourselves. We need to take care of the house first. And then we can abound in every good work. You know? He talks about the stony ground. It says, and some fell on stony ground where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. You see, the seed was unable to take root. Why? Because of the rocky layer of soil. So when we sow, we need to know where we're sowing. I see it all the time, you know. And sometimes I'm moved. But before I do anything, I ask the Lord, would you have me do this? Huh? And a lot of times he tells me no. I wonder why. And later on I know why. Because I wait. See, we have to wait. We just cannot react to things. We need to act upon things. Take time. He talks about the thorny ground. It says, and some fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. See, the thorns and the thistles choke the growth of that good seed, you see, by taking away the necessary moisture that that seed needed to grow. It lost its nutrients. Because, you see, you know what's interesting about weeds and good plants? Those weeds got long roots. So they take up all that nice water and the nutrients. And the good plant has short roots. So it's deprived. So you see, I really enjoyed Corinne when she was saying last Friday, she would sit there and pluck all the weeds. I understood exactly what she was saying. See, the weeds will rob us of the blessing of God for our lives. So we need to pluck those weeds out so that the seed will grow and flourish and bear good fruit. God wants the very best for us. But it's up to us to hear that still, quiet voice of the Spirit that speaks to us in so many different ways. You see, John 3:8 says, the wind blows. No one knows where it's coming. No one knows where it's going. As such are those that are guided by the Spirit. See, we don't have to be in a rush. We need to stand firm and not be moved by any passing wind. Because, you know, we know when the right wind comes. For there is peace. There is joy. There's calm. So, what am I saying? I'm saying that Jesus made emphasis on these. And then he spoke to us about the good ground. For there in Mark 4:8, he goes on to say, and other fell on good ground and did yield fruit. See, Jesus here is comparing the quality of the soil against the other three. And because that soil was good soil, because that soil was well watered, because that soil was rich in nutrients, the seed was able to take root and produce an abundant harvest. So what are we saying? What am I saying? I'm saying that we, here today, are about to experience what I said earlier. We are about to experience the unthinkable. See the unbelievable. Witness the unprecedented harvest of souls who will be transformed by the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. For you see, what do we hear here? We hear nothing but the word. What does Pastor say? It's all about him. It's all about Jesus. All about Jesus. See, nothing else matters. Jesus is the hub. And we are to revolve around Jesus, is not him around us. You see, some people think that God is angry at us. But you see, God is not angry at us. No, he's not at all. God loves us. And God wants to bless us. You see, gospel actually means nearly too good to be true news. It's nearly too good. You see, that's why people don't believe it. It can't be. But it is. It is. It truly, truly, truly is. So today, we stand on a threshold. Today is a time to make decisions. You know, Joshua said in Joshua 23:15, the following. He says, my house will serve the Lord. See, but before that, what did he say? Choose you today whom shall you serve. How are we going to go about doing what God has called us? What has God called us to do? He has called us to make disciples, not converts, disciples. You know, it takes a long time to make a disciple. You know, statistics say that you're not really the pastor of anybody unless you've pastored them for over 5 years. You see? Fear, the opposite of fear is not unbelief. The opposite of fear is faith, because they both are concerned with the future. The Bible says, fear not. You know, and if God says me, don't fear not, and I fear, what am I doing? I'm being disobedient. No, I can't do that. I won't do that. So don't fear. Give. You know, we use that Luke 6:37. It says, given it shall be given unto you, you know. We use that a lot of times for the offering. But you know what it really, that passage is all about? That passage is all about forgiveness. So we need to forgive. I'm here to tell you, you won't forget, because you never forget. But you can choose to see things in a different light. See? You cannot control your emotions, but you can choose to do the will of God. And that's what it's all about. Today is the first day of the rest of our lives. God is here. And He's talking to us. And it doesn't matter the words that I have said, because you're hearing something else. You're hearing something else. You know, I remember that a long time ago. I would hear some tapes of messages that I would give. And as I matured, I would look back and say, boy, that was a bunch of hogwash. You know, it's pure Hollywood. You know what I'm saying? Yet people glorified God. People came to God. You know why? Because they weren't hearing what I was saying. They were hearing what God was saying into their hearts. Because like Brother Wayne said, it's all about the heart. And the heart is all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Pastor will be here tonight. You know, we are so blessed to have a pastor like Pastor Keith, a great man of God, you know. And we know that because it's true. See, we got to remind him about the offering. He forgets it 9 times out of 10. So it's not about the money. It's about the love. You know, it's all about the love. We are blessed to have such a great church. You guys are wonderful. You guys are givers, not takers. There's a lot of takers out there. But you know what? When I came to this house and I looked around, all I seen was Jesus. All I seen was Jesus. And I said, I'm home. I'm home because Jesus is here. Jesus is alive. It's all about Him and not about us. You see? And it's all because we want more of Jesus. I love it when pastors say more. 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 Actually, what he's saying is, more Jesus. More Jesus. More Jesus. Well, I talk a lot. You know? But see, the thing is that, what are we talking about? We're talking about Jesus. Jesus wants to prosper this church. You see? And I believe that one church can make the difference in our city. Remember this. We became a state by one vote. One vote made us a state. So one church can make a difference. See, we are the church without walls. You see, because this is not the church. This is the assembly hall. So I'm here to tell you that if you ever come and the doors are locked, don't worry. Take a walk. You'll probably find us at a corner witnessing the Word of God to some lost soul. Because we're the church. And we are alive because Jesus is alive in us. Let us pray. Father, we thank you.